From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 19th day of September, 2019. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. A bit later in the program, Matt Bennett will be here from agmarket.net to take a look at the cash grain market. We'll update the weather forecast along the way with Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. He says it's going to be a wet one over the next couple of weeks, and he's kind of concerned about the rest of the fall as well. And we'll take a look at hemp in the state of Illinois and how producers can catch up on a field day in Roseville coming up on the 30th day of September. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the settlement prices from the CME Group in Chicago for this Thursday. December contract in the corn at 372 and three quarters, a penny and a half higher. The March up 1.5 at 384, and the May at 391 and three quarters, a penny and a half higher. July futures at 397 and a half, up 1 cent. And next year's December at 405, a quarter of a cent lower. November beans for the day, 4 1/4 higher at $8.93. January 906 up 3 3/4, the March at 918 and a quarter up 3, the May at 928 and 3/4, 2.5 higher, and November of next year at 947 and a quarter, 3/4 of a cent higher. The bean oil futures at 29.81, down 6 cents for the day. The bean meal up 6 cents at 292.20 for the afternoon. Wheat futures soft bread a penny and a half lower, settled at 488. The July, the harvest month there, at 502 and a quarter, down 1.5 as well. And July hard red at $4.42 and a quarter, 3/4 of a cent lower. Live cattle futures in Chicago, $99.80. Settlement price for the October contract at 57.5 cents lower. Feeder cattle up 7.5 at 139.95 in the lead September. October 52.5 higher at 138.92.5. And lean hogs on the day in the October at $61.40. Down $1.52.5 for the afternoon. Crude oil for the day up 4 cents a barrel. Ethanol futures down a penny and a quarter. Heating oil or diesel fuel up 3 cents. And gasoline 3 9/10 of a cent higher. Trade there at $1.69 7/10 of a cent per gallon. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online, listen to us on demand. Anytime you'd like, you can do that at willag.org or willag.org. Listen to us as a podcast in your favorite podcast app as well. On iTunes, the Google Play Store, in SoundCloud, Stitcher, and on the NPR One app. Now let's turn our attention to what happened in Chicago and get an assessment of the day's trade and where the marketplace might be headed. Dan Zwicker joins us. He is from Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Hey, Dan, thanks so much for taking the time with us on this Thursday afternoon. Can you give me your quick assessment of what's been happening in the marketplace over the last week or so and how you expect things traded throughout the day today and where we go from here?
Well, I think from a technical perspective, we're still hanging in there. Beans are destined, unless we get a surprise on the September 30th report, probably going to close out the month higher, which I think is a strong indication of a counter seasonal move during harvest. Corn is unchanged to slightly higher. Granted, we still have 10 days or so to go before the month of September. And of course, that September report will mean a lot on corn. But I think, you know, from what I'm hearing out in the field, yields may not be holding up to expectations. But I've heard some that are, you know, doing pretty good. But I think the consensus is that the yields may not be up to expectations. So that is a indication that farmers will probably be a little tighter holder of new crop corn and soybeans as they harvest it. So that should be generally supportive to the market. And we had some pretty good export sales here today on corn and soybeans. Hopefully that will continue. If that would continue, then that would be a little supportive. That would be quite supportive as we get the combines rolling, over the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's at 3 or 4 weeks. It's a long time at this point, it seems, because we are, in mid-September, actually, really, the last third of September now, and combines haven't begun to roll very far. It looks like it's going to be a kind of a drawn-out, potentially, harvest season. Does that make much of a difference to you?
Well, usually a drawn-out harvest, what happens is you don't really get any big hedge pressure at any given time. You kind of space that hedge pressure out over that harvest period. So you have a tendency to have more of a flat type harvest bottom rather than kind of a V bottom sometimes that we normally get when you get a lot of selling in the last week of September into that first week of October during a normal type harvest. But it doesn't look like we're going to have that kind of pressure at least this year. Now, it may be postponed to the last week of October to the first week of November. We'll have to see what the weather pattern is. But if the weather pattern would stay somewhat on the wet side and keep harvest just stringing along in here, what it would do would just be basically more of a sideways type market. And I think that would spell good, would be indicative that it might even turn sideways to slightly higher because as your end users have been waiting on harvest to come, waiting to buy harvest lows, will be needing to buy some inventory. So they may have to step in and buy inventory probably at a little higher price than what they had planned on because harvest is strung out this year much more so, not only due to maybe weather patterns, but due to the wide range of planting dates that we have on both corn and soybeans in the Corn Belt.
Do you see a bottom in place already?
Oh, I think the bean bottom that we posted last spring, last May or June, I don't have a chart right in front of me, but that low I think is pretty well in place. Then we had a nice rally. We've had a setback, and now we're turning around. And it looks like we're going to close out the month of September higher. So I think the overall soybean trend has shifted to higher, but we may not notice a lot of the higher until we get through harvest. But I think the bean low is in place, and the market's going higher as we go on into the winter months. Now, corn, I kind of think the corn market low is in, simply because I think the market has traded the biggest of the crop. And my guess is that the crop size is going to come down some over time. I'm still wrestling with the acreage situation. I don't know necessarily what to make of that. And I guess I'll just stay patient and see how that plays out over the next several months, especially October month, and then we'll see what happens on the January final. It's just really hard for me to believe that, given the lateness of the crop that we've had, that we're only down as much as what we are from last year. It just seems like that's still a little rich on the yield. Being down 10 bushels from last year, I think that's a little rich myself on corn. And that same way on soybeans, just down a couple bushels or so. So I think there's room for the crop to come down in size, and I think that will be generally supportive to the marketplace as we go forward.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Nothing other than, you know, outside market activity is going to be a factor here in commodities. Hopefully it'll be more supportive than negative, but we do have a lot of noise in the outside activities that could come over and maybe throw us a curveball here or there over the next 2 or 3 months.
Okay, thanks so much, Dan.
Very well, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, joins us on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Look us up, listen to us on demand at WILLAG.org in iTunes, the Google Play Store, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, just about any place that you can find a podcast. You'll find the Closing Market Report and all the rest of our programming, too. Look first at WILLAG.org and also on NPR One. Now, up next, we'll talk about hemp and how to raise it right here in the state of Illinois. Tomorrow, and this is just a quick update, we'll bring you the rest of the story from Emerson Nafziger that I promised you yesterday, and he'll talk about soybeans and maturity in the state of Illinois. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Philip Alberti. He's part of the commercial ag team here at the U of I, and he's located in northern Illinois. On Monday, the 30th day of September, he'll be in Roseville, Illinois, for a hemp conference that Extension is hosting. Hi, Philip. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me.
So tell me about this hemp conference. Who should come? What you're planning on doing?
Yeah, sure. So throughout the growing season, I've been working with a producer by the name of Andy Houston with American Hemp Research, and he has got a very, very impressive field of CBD hemp that he's been growing. This is his second year in production. He was on the pilot program with Western Illinois University last year, and he's trying a bunch of different things, looking at various planting methods, transplanters, different varieties, and he's just trying to see, do some very basic research to see what's working in his area and what's not. And I've been out there. It's a great field. We just want to let other producers see what they can do and maybe how they can make this work into their production system.
So when they come that day, they'll register. I think there's a $10 fee. That's for the lunch, though. They're coming to Roseville. Are they coming someplace specific there?
Yeah, so the address is actually going to be 614 105th Street in Roseville, Illinois. And the registration page, we try to make it really easy. It's go.illinois.edu/fieldday. And you can go ahead and register there. There is a $10 payment, which will be for the lunch. But I think it's going to be very, very much worth your time. We're going to have some demonstrations out there with equipment that was used during the growing season. And we're going to have a very impressive team of people out there speaking about this topic. And I think those who really have some great experience.
So we'll really be in the field on that day.
Yes, we will. We're going to have a shed and some tables and chairs just in case the rain doesn't want to, or the weather doesn't want to cooperate with us. But for the most part, we're going to be walking through the field. This is going to be a very hands-on event, taking a look at the different types of production systems that can be used for this crop. But we really wanted this to be an opportunity to get out into the field. A lot of the meetings that we've had this season have been informal or, you know, in a workshop setting where you're sitting in the classroom. We want this one to be out in the field. And so rain or shine, we will be out there.
Is there a registration deadline?
We would just ask that you register by September 27th to kind of give us the weekend to prepare for food and lunch and things of that nature. So September 27th is going to be the deadline.
Okay, so Roseville is between Peoria and Burlington, closer to Burlington, but it's not quite halfway between those two. So it's pretty easy to find. Folks can register again. Where online? It's go.illinois.edu/fieldday.
That's correct.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing you in Roseville. I'll be there with you.
Sounds great, Todd. Looking forward to it.
That, of course, is Philip Alberti. He is helping Illinois Extension and to lead a hemp workshop that's taking place at a field day in Roseville, Illinois on Monday, September the 30th. Mike Tenura at T-Storm Weather in Chicago now joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. Mike, I'd like to start right here in the Corn Belt. Farmers had a tough season. Things have been really not too bad in the month of September, but I suppose there might be a bit more rain out there at the moment than expected. Can you tell me about that and what you think it means?
Well, there's quite a bit of rain on the way for the Corn Belt over the next couple of weeks. You could argue that this weather pattern started last June, so 15 months ago, but has basically been raining in different areas of the Corn Belt on most days going back well over a year. And here we go again. We have the remnant of a tropical system moving in from Texas. We have a cool front moving in from the north, and we have a strong wave of energy passing across southern Canada. All of these are going to focus rain on the southeast half of the Corn Belt and into the Delta and parts of the Plains over the next several days. So another 1 to 2 inches of rain is on the way for pretty wide swaths of Iowa, Wisconsin, Missouri, and Illinois, as well as nearby areas. So it's going to turn wetter before it turns drier. And the thing I'd like to point out is that there's a lot of clues that suggest even though next week dries out a little bit, we're going to ramp it right back up in about a week or 10 days from now with another wet setup. So the raininess is going to last for a while.
Well, can you tell me about some of those clues and what you think they mean?
Well, I'm not sure we can really draw too much about what it means in the big picture, except to say that weather is always random within the climate. So we just somehow got into this weather pattern last June, and it's never broken. I mean, to be this much wetter than normal for this long of a period of time is truly unprecedented in the Corn Belt. If September ends up being wetter than normal in the U.S. Corn Belt, that will mark the 14th straight month being wetter than normal in the 7-state region of the U.S. Corn Belt. We have records that go back 125 years, and in that entire 125-year period, the record prior to the current streak of 14 was only 8. So we've smashed the prior record by a full half of a year. And who knows, maybe October will stay wet. What if November stays wet? I mean, at some point it's going to end, but it's not going to end immediately.
How likely do you think it is that September will be wetter than normal across the Corn Belt?
Well, based on what we're seeing at the moment, the chances are increasing pretty rapidly. We saw a decent round of thunderstorms overnight in Iowa. We have more rain coming up that we already talked about. Most of the Corn Belt was fairly close to normal for rainfall to this point, but if this forecast pans out, we'll start pushing those numbers higher and higher again, and we don't need all that much rain to be wetter than normal. So I would say odds are probably greater than 75% for September to end up being another wet month.
And while North America has been wet, South America, at least at the moment, is dry. Can you tell me about those regions?
Well, there's no doubt that a drought has developed in Argentina, Brazil, and in Paraguay. So all the key farming areas are now experiencing a drought. And it seems like every year when we talk in the autumn about what's happening in South America, it's always been the same story. Everything looks great. Well, at the moment, you could definitely argue things do not look all that great. Now, you have to keep in mind that the months of June through September are drier months in Argentina, Brazil, and Paraguay. Though they're not completely dry, they still see decent rainfall, especially from southern Brazil and points to the south. But these areas have all been pretty dry over the last 90 days. And basically, over 85 to 90% of corn, sunflower, soybean, and wheat production were all drier than normal over the last 90 days across these countries. And that tells us that we need a lot of rain to start breaking this drought. At this point, we can see there's no rain in the forecast for Argentina for at least 10 days. So the drought is going to continue there. And that's bad news for wheat farmers because that wheat is about to turn sensitive. It's been pretty dry. And again, there's basically very little to no rain coming up through the end of the month. As you look at Brazil and you look at Paraguay, the story there is a little bit different in that corn and soybean planting is only beginning at the moment. Now, they do need rain to start planting because their soils can get kind of dry. And this lack of rain is a bit concerning because it's holding farmers back. Now, all of that being said, it does turn wetter every week as we move forward all the way through January. So as each week goes by, the chance to stay dry actually diminishes just because they start to get more rains from a climatological standpoint. But even then, you need to beat the normal rainfall in order to wipe out drought. So say we need 2 inches of rain over the next 2 weeks to stay normal. Well, if we got that 2 inches, we'd still be in a drought because we need 3 inches to start eating away at it. And we can see that even though some rain is in the forecast, it's not going to be enough to diminish drought. So this will more than likely be a story next month and one that we'll be watching for a while.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it. And we'll talk with you again next week.
Yeah, that sounds great, Ty. Talk to you then.
That's Mike Tenura. He is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. Matt Bennett is here from agmarket.net. Hey, good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for taking the time with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Todd.
Well, let's start with where you are on the farm and what you think this means across the board for producers. It's been a pretty good September. We've been really worried that the maturity of the crop might not make it. It's still a really late crop. How long do you think it'll take producers to get started in real form, and how long to get it all out?
Yeah, I think a lot of guys are nosing around a little bit right now. There's a few drying deals here and there, but moisture contents, you know, I'm hearing anything from 20 up to, you know, maybe 27-28%. Guys trying to just get started and get the pump primed, if you will. But I do think the harvest will be started in earnest next week if the weather cooperates. I expect a fair amount of beans to start getting cut. But when we're going to finish up, it's going to be anyone's guess. Now, one thing that's definitely a good sign, you know, is this forecast looks like we're going to get heat at least for a couple more weeks. That's really going to help bring some of this corn along, and some of the really late planted corn, maybe get it to the finish line. Yes, you're still probably going to harvest a fair amount of wet corn this fall, but it might not be quite as bad as what we once thought it was. So I think that there'll be a lot of guys in Central Illinois finish up, you know, before Thanksgiving, whereas before, a lot of us were wondering if that would happen.
Turn your attention to marketing and pricing. Are you of a mind that we've made some pre-harvest lows and should move, I don't know, sideways to higher at this point?
You know, I've got to feel that way. It sure looked to me like last week we put basically a double bottom in. We reversed the market higher with the report. You know, the report wasn't necessarily friendly by any stretch of the imagination, but the result, you know, was a reversal. And so, you know, I think looking at the markets way they're at, it looks to me like we could have some sort of a harvest rally. It might not be anything substantial. A lot of that's going to have to do with a couple of different factors. One, quarterly stocks, I think, could have a pretty big impact if we get a surprise there. And given basis levels throughout this marketing year, I think you could see a surprise. And then, of course, the October report. You know, I'd like to point out the August report this year, or, you know, the September report was the old August report, where they actually got in the field for the first time. And so dropping from August to September, I don't think is as big of a deal as if you would drop from September to October. I think that you could expect yields to continue to drop from there.
Tell me a little bit about this quarterly stocks report. It's the last one of the year. It'll finalize the numbers for corn and soybeans. You think it will change things much?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. But, you know, I certainly felt like, given the nature of the winter that we had and livestock numbers, that it was pretty tough for me to see them inject the stocks that they did, you know, in the March 31st quarterly stocks report. They pulled some of those back out in the middle of the summer time frame. I'm not so sure that more of those aren't going to get pulled back out here at the end. That would certainly be a boon for the corn market. We'd like to see that happen. Whether we're going to see it or not, it's anyone's guess. But if I was betting, I would say that if you get a surprise, it's probably going to be more of a friendly nature than the other way around.
Hey, thanks so much. Anything else to add before I let you go?
No, just be safe. I know everyone's getting ready to get out there and get going. This has been an awfully frustrating year. We all know that on a lot of different levels, but just be safe out there.
Thanks much, Matt. That's Matt Bennett. He is with agmarket.net.